Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 176, I was very lucky and privileged, happy to have actually, Ashley Rutledge on the podcast. She is a fellow podcaster in arms. Her podcast is called The Black Sheep Christian Podcast. We talked about many different things. We talked about how religion is seen in the world today. We've talked about how the Bible has been sort of not mistranslated, but how some of the things are being super edited to fit into our today's world, to make it a little bit more palatable. We talked about a number of different things. I've got to say, very interesting young lady to talk to. And yeah, a joy to have on the podcast. So yeah, please sit back, enjoy the podcast, enjoy the show. If you can, take out a moment, subscribe. And yeah, thank you very much. Enjoy the show. Bye-bye. Peace. Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast today. Woo! On episode 176, I am very privileged and lucky to have Ashley Rutledge. You see, I've got it. Now, I've got to say, with this young lady, to say she's a black sheep of the family, no, to heart she's taken it. So she's started a podcast called The Black Sheep, a Christian. Yes. How are you today, my lady?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you?
I am good. It's Friday night here in the UK. Looking forward to the weekend. The Premiership football comes back to, it starts tonight. And so, yes. All I've got to say is, yes, the long 9 months of me like being in a random pub or watching it on TV with a pint in hand begins.
Nice.
As of tomorrow.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I understand what a football season means, the introduction of a football season. The grass just smells so wonderful.
Well, you know what? I won't be smelling the grass. I will be just like, yes, in the company of a friend or two, like talking about random football facts and bitching and complaining about why this hasn't happened. So yeah, I am going to de-evolve into my full sports caveman for the next 9 months, just for the weekends. And so my poor beloved lady will be not widowed, but she'll be lacking my company for a period of time, where she might be like, thank God he's talking to someone else about this stupid subject. But that's another story. I have to ask now, you're a Christian, full of Christian beliefs, hopes, dreams, everything like this. And you're getting yourself out there, but why? Why a podcast? Before you say why not? Why a podcast? What made you get into this realm of things?
Yeah, great question. So I'd done a podcast before, years before. Didn't have a vision, didn't know what I was doing, but I knew the direction. And it's funny because some of my coworkers knew, and you can really tell that I was, it almost sounded like I was in hiding because I didn't want nobody to know.
This is the thing. Look, with a podcast, after you've told your friends, family, and basically all the sort of random people, which sort of on your Facebook feed or whatnot, yeah, you think, right, no, I shouldn't really say anything, but it's your podcast. Come on.
I know. So then I stopped doing it because I didn't have enough time. So I started doing it again. And it was the same thing, but this time I was on my own, but still I didn't tell anybody. I didn't want anybody to know. So that's why I ended up starting away in a podcast, because a podcast, you don't have to show your face. It's just your voice. You're just putting it out there in the atmosphere. I didn't even advertise it. for the longest time, but I had listeners, and it wasn't until I got an email and I was like, okay, like the email was like, this is good. And I was like, okay, okay. Now, you know, gave me the confidence to be like, I got something here.
Like, this is the thing. Who was the email from? Like, what did it say?
Oh, yeah. It was actually from FeedSpot. It was like an algorithm. Like, it was basically saying how I was, you know, the top 20 upcoming Christian, you know, minority Christian podcast. And I was like, okay, okay. I think I got something here. Because I couldn't do YouTube, and I didn't do YouTube because my dad watches YouTube. Like, my dad and my daughter watch YouTube. So can you imagine, like, starting something, you come up on their feed and they'll be like,
hey. No, but like, this is the thing, like, you, like, bold steps forward, I say, bold steps forward. Look, because like this, like, what I often find, look, when you start doing something like this, and look, respect to you for being the top 20 for, yeah, like, Christian podcasts for, like, in a minority. Very fucking, very niche, to say the least. But still, but when, like, I always say, people often look and observe, but they won't say anything to you. Like some people, you're going to get, obviously, people which are going to be that negative Nancy sitting in the corner going, well, you can't do this and blah, 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 blah. And you'll get your supporters which will come out and go, you know, come on, yeah, you're doing a great job. But the vast majority will not say a word to you, but they are watching. They are.
True. Listening.
And like, this is the thing, you don't know how you might possibly be, how can I say, motivating or influencing them in a positive direction.
Very true. Very true. And, you know, as I have advertised and be like, hey, I have a podcast, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people are doing podcasts. And, you know, when I started doing mine again, I thought other people who were on my show in the beginning, when I first started the first time, because this is my second time around.
Yeah.
And I thought they were ahead of me. And it turned out I was ahead of them. And I was just like, cause they were asking me questions. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought you already started. Like I was getting back in the game because I was like, you know, I did it, you know, it was fun. You know, I didn't have a vision, but now I have a vision and a plan and what this should be. And I'm thinking everybody else is ahead of me, but it turns out the complete opposite.
Yeah, like, this is the thing, like, one of the things I would say, people sometimes get caught up with that, and it's very easy to do that, get caught up with, like, hey, who am I ahead? Am I ahead? Am I behind? Everything like this. But nevertheless, you're just like, oh, okay, you do you, I say, you do you. And look, this is the thing. I looked at your website with its charming little logo with the sheep head and everything like that. Yeah, got to say, yeah, it's well thought out. It's great. Like, keep it up. Keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I have so much more to do. I mean, the website in itself needs, it's like I'm there, but it's not crystal clear. So as I am exposing myself, I guess you can say, I'm also reaching to other people who have better skills than I do. You know, because you can only do so much. I mean, you do a podcast. I mean, there's only so much, like, you're good at, so much of your time that you can do. Like, I mean, now I've outsourced my editing because I'm not a good sound engineer. You know, I can take out the ums and the ahs, and but when it comes to sound, I just don't have an ear for that. You know, so by outsourcing that, you know, now I can be able to, like, focus on the juice, you know? So yeah, the website does need to get better, but I'll get there. Get there.
So what would you say is the juice? Because I look, what I might consider juice and what you consider juice and what, hey, Tom, Dick, Harry, and Sally might consider juice, it's considerably different. What is the juice for you?
Yeah, the juice is really getting deep into stories of other people, mm-hmm. and also to learn about scripture. Like when I'm talking about learning about scripture, I'm not talking about like Bible verses, what this means, but it's like the history and the context. Like, okay, so for example, famous story, I say famous story, but people know the story of basically the woman caught having sex, you know, the woman cheating the Pharisees pull her out. Jesus puts the line in the sand. They got stones. Oh my. So like in the movies, like people have like these little rocks, you know, and you're thinking like, oh, that's stoning. But when I learned, stoning was really serious. Like this woman would have been thrown in a pit. These people had boulders basically, and they would have just basically threw the rocks at her. And then for the guy, you know, because people were like, what about the man? Like the man would have been like in basically poop, like a pile of poop. And they would like put ropes like on his arm and just like basically tear his body apart. Like things like that. So when you watch movies and television shows, like for another example is like Jesus dying on the cross. Like in movies and television, he's like wrapped in cloth, like he's on the cross wrapped in cloth. And that's not true. Like Jesus was butt naked, but because of decency, you know.
She's doing air quotes right now, ladies and gentlemen, air quotes. Because of decency. Air quote. There you go. Yeah.
Like he's in cloth. So when I mean by like getting to the Jews, getting deeper, I'm like learning about history, context, things that, you know, when you go to church, you hear so many times, but you know, the church, the pastor, they're not going deep into the story. So a lot is just left out. I mean, that's why we're in the situation that we're in, because people are walking around with the notion thinking scripture or Bible verse is one way, when actually when you learn about the context and the history, it's not that way at all.
Yeah, I would say with regards to sort of the context of like scripture, storytelling, which like so connected with the Bible, like, yes, the parables, like, yes. The son who comes back. Why am I like the prodigal son? There you go. Yeah. Like prodigal son. Like, yes. The one you just mentioned, like he who's without sin, cast the first stone. And like, yeah, I think a lot of that does get missed because, okay, you got to that. They're trying to shape it in a nice sort of clean image. Like, think of it like this. If you look at the Brothers Grimm, like, I'm not trying to compare it to that, but if you look at the Brothers Grimm, like, fairy tale, and you compare it to what gets actually broadcast or what gets adapted to, much of the darkness is removed from a Brothers Grimm, like, tale, to basically make it nicey for everyone out there. And I think with regards to, like, Christianity and everything like this, I think most religions, like, there are some sort of real dark places it's actually gone to, but it kind of gets like people shy away from it. People don't want the truth, if you get what I mean.
Right. And even how scripture is written, like King James in itself, like that whole learning about King James was fascinating to me, because King James is like that's the scripture that everybody refers to. But King James has, from what I learned, over 6,000 errors, and it was written for the wealthy. So poor people, it wasn't even written for poor people. Like the whole King James language, it's like we can't even say it ourselves, like read the book ourselves in the 20th century, 21st century. You know, we think of like, oh, it's an old language, but it wasn't never written for the common folk. It was written for the wealthy folk. And King James has racial issues, how it's written. And when I learned about that, I was like,
So like, I have to, like, not that I'm like, I'm curious, like, I've got to ask, with the King James Bible, now, what was one of, like, one or maybe two of the things which sort of like went, you went, say, what?
Right. So for one thing, King James was written in the early 1600s. Mm-hmm. So when you think about the time period, slavery didn't start around until like 1619. So, and then there was also a doctrine of discovery, which was basically a piece of paper that gave permission, I guess you can say, to take land and take resources, because people, they're not Christians. They're not like us. But when it's funny, because it never hit me until I interviewed Dr. Dennis. And I was like, wait a minute. I said, Africans were already Christians. They were already Christians. It was just a different form of Christianity. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the white man's form of Christianity. So another way with King James that has an issue, you know, is Black and Beautiful. I can't remember the Bible verse in the top of my head, but they couldn't imagine a Black person being beautiful. So when the scripture is being read, it's kind of like, it's either this or this, but it's not together. Mm. And so that is an example of a racial issue that King James has. But even when it was written, it was just like all of this swirling together in this world that we live in today, you know, with how it's written, with slavery. I mean, it just all makes sense. It just all makes sense to me, that is. But that's what I mean by getting into the juice. There's nothing wrong with Christianity. There's nothing wrong with Bible and scripture. Mm. It's the people that took it and used it in order to advance their agenda, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like, this is a thing. Like, let's just say, if you've been alive for the last, like 20 or 30 years, you've seen religion used in its fullest in an agenda way, in a agenda-driven way, like, be it Christian, Muslim, or, like, yes, Buddhist. Like, and you got to, like, you got to look at it and go, okay, are you really sort of, like, really sort of like sticking to what's actually being preached, or are you kind of just like, you know what I mean, warping and twisting it for your own designs and your own machinations, as if you go get what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
You're like, yeah. It's like, if I feel you want to say something, but you're like, okay.
Yep. It's like, yep, very much so. I mean, scripture was used to justify slavery. Scripture was used to justify Jim Crow here in the United States. You know, slavery is being used today to justify, you know, LGBTQ. But, you know, did God really think about LGBTQ? I mean, that wasn't the issue.
Like, this is the thing, like, okay, what I would simply say is this, like, yeah, like, if you're here, like, building a universe and, like, basically building a planet and, like, putting life on that universe, I don't think you're gonna actually, like, go into the absolute finite nitty-gritty of just like, yeah, okay, wait, I'm gonna give these guys free will, okay, no problem. Where would that free will take them? Endless possibilities. So to say it's like, yeah, no, you can't be this and be that, or you've got to stick to my rigid, like, these rigid rules, which, let's just say, there's many a time when these rules have been, like, used and not used. And I think a standout moment is a scene from The West Wing. I don't know if you've, like, seen it. Like, basically, you had Martin Sheen talking to this, like, Christian lady. Like, she was like, yeah, she was like, how can I say, to say she was a, like, extreme Christian on, like, sort of like, yes, she used her Christianity to sort of put down people, belittle people, and just, like, drive home her sort of political agenda. But, like, yeah, Sheen comes in and is like, right, And he basically took her to school when it came to the realms of scripture about, like, yeah, people not working on, like, the Sabbath should be stoned, and, like, you know what I mean, not playing with, like, football because of this. And, like, it went through a list of things, and this lady was like, and he goes, like, first and lastly, look, goes, anytime the president of the United States walks into a room, everyone stands. And she's like, okay. I was like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, people forget, like, Jesus is a prime example that people forget. Like, he washed the feet of his disciples. Now, Jesus is a leader, you would, you know, imagine, you know, but he was primarily a follower because he was all about following what his father needed him for him to do. Jesus didn't go down and be like, do this, do that. He was talking to his own followers on how to live and take care of each other. That's what it was at the end of the day, because when he left, he was like, I give you one commandment, which is to love each other. So, which I think is was his way of making things simple for everybody else to live a better life.
Well, yeah. No, but, like, this is the thing. I often see Jesus and as well as Moses and, like, Samson as, like, basically God's sort of vessel. They're agents on, like, on the earth because, like, yeah, comes at it from many different strategies. Well, not strategies, but many sort of different ways. Like, yeah, with Samson, it was strength. With, like, Moses, it was, how can I say, he, like, it was more sort of an instrument of his wrath in some regards. When you, like, look down to it, he's like, I'll give you a chance. And it's like, yeah. And Moses was like, hey, what's going on? Like, look, you haven't let my people go. And, like, yeah, God turned to, like, Moses and went, look, at this moment in time, at that Pharaoh, people celebrate, pray, and, like, you know what I mean? Until the day when, like, yeah, he stops, like, reduces offering by a bit. And it was like, yeah, that's when I'll go into action. Because it was like, okay, God's no fool. It's like, look, the people of Egypt, they pray to me. Now, it might be like, it might be with a slightly different name, but they still praise myself. And it was like, right. So Moses had to be, like, schooled on that side of things. But when it came down to it, and, yeah, Pharaoh was like, yeah, you know what? I need to reduce it. That's when, like, God was like, okay, it's go time. And Moses went, yes, let my people go. No. I was like, okay, no worries. Now you'll see the wrath of God. That's the way I see it. I might be completely wrong. I've got a little bit of knowledge, but not a lot of knowledge, you know?
Don't worry. I have a little bit of knowledge too.
Okay. Like,
because the Bible's so big. I mean, there's so much, and there's so much that scholars don't even know to this day. But what's fascinating with Moses, with the example that you use, and with all of them, is that they're not perfect. Moses had a speech problem. Moses was a murderer. Moses had leadership issues. But he still followed God. He still obeyed and allowed God to lead him. I mean, Moses is a prime example. I mean, I would need a burning bush too in order for God to get my attention, you know? I'd be like, hello, I'm here.
Are you sure that would work out in the 21st century? That's like, yep. It'll be like, I'm on my phone. That's like, Oh, look, there's a burning bush. Off we go.
Someone would definitely, like, put that on Facebook Live or something like that. Be like, burning bush. Yeah.
It's like, okay. And I goes like, hey, look, I was trying to talk to you for a moment there. Yeah, wait. I'm here with the big G-O-D. God in the house. He's like, yeah. I am sort of curious. Like, one of the things which I'm sort of curious about especially over the last few years and especially over the last 18 months. Would you say there's been like, what would you say some of the challenges you've seen, like as an individual, I'm not saying for the whole of Christianity, have you seen go through like the community around you when it comes to like Christianity? Because you're out there a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the challenges is, you know, America is very divided, if you didn't know.
I think I pick up on that every now and then. Yes.
Yes, we got our, America's got its issues, you know, it's got its personal problems that it's trying to work out, you know, it's like Thanksgiving dinner, you know, everybody's invited to the dinner, but that doesn't mean everybody's going to be pleasant at the table. But
what did you say? Nothing. Like, just going to sit here, just like, eat this turkey. Like, yo, carry on. I can feel the words bubbling away.
Yes. So Sunday is one of the most, how someone wrote, one of the most segregated days of the week, if, you know, you go to church on Sunday. So I enjoy church hopping. It's weird. I haven't done it in a minute, but I know that's a weird thing to say, you know, go from one church to another just to see how people or groups of people praise and worship. I am African American, and it's interesting when
the right dose of melanin. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting when I go into a primarily white church, and I kid you not. So the motto is, you know, this is God's house. Come as you are. And I kid you not, there was one time when I went to a white church and the greeters, their faces were like, like, oh my goodness, it's a Black person. They're coming. And I just went by myself. And I actually went to this particular church because someone was getting baptized. Someone I knew was getting baptized in the church. So they wanted me to come and, you know, witness this moment. And they're like, what do we do? And I would be like, hi, you know, put my little, hi. Hey. And they'd be like, well, welcome. And I just walked right in, like, I have that brush shirt. Thanks.
Well, one of the things I'm like sort of curious about is like, why, like when you say you church hop and like, this is the thing you go, it like, you say it like it's a rare thing. But I would have thought church hopping, especially like even it's the same sort of denomination, would be a very sort of wise thing to do because, okay, you got whoever is leading the congregation. And if you're going there week, years even, you're just getting, how can I say, you're getting that one person's perspective, but you're not getting other people's perspectives, which might enrich or help you grow that little bit more. And I think that is not super weird, but I think it's not what I would expect I would expect more sort of interaction, more sort of ways to sort of like go, hey, this is how it, like, this is the, like, this is scripture, this is how we live, and this is how I interpret it. And it might be considerably different in another place. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, every church is God's house. And, you know, Jesus never really had one particular place where he was preaching or teaching. And that's a very good fact. I mean, you're not getting one perspective. You're opening yourself to other ways of learning scripture. I mean, sometimes, I mean, there's scripture where it's really left out there in the open for us, you know, because we just don't have that we just don't have that information. You know, we're mixing contexts, you know, stuff was just lost in translation, basically. Mm-hmm. So to be able to go from, you know, one church to another, to listen to what we will call, you know, chosen leaders from God, if they are, but you know, that's a whole other discussion.
Well, it's like a super church. Say no more. Okay, yeah,
that's a whole other discussion. Because yeah. Believe me, like the deeper I go, like this is so off the question. Like okay. The deeper I go, the more fascinating I just find where what you would think people should be immersed in the Lord's teaching or practicing or learning, or, you know, you find more aren't really, it's a front. Like for some pastors, it's a complete front. I mean, just recently there was on the news how members of the Catholic Church, was it under Pope Francis? Like members had double lives. Like they're living a double life.
like that's the thing. With some of the revelations which have come out over, like from the Catholic Church over the last few decades, it's not even double lives. It's just some of the people which the community turns to and stuff like this are just straight up monsters. It's there is no other way of putting it. And Catholic Church can come to me and go, look, this is what members of your organization did, and you guys, on many occasions, you didn't you didn't stand with the community. You basically stood with whoever was leading, like that priest, and then you just covered it up, which ain't cool. It's like, it's a very different, like, Maren, like, look, I'm a strong believer in you can have a second chance. There is the realm of forgiveness. But at the time, you kind of go, no. It's like, look, you did what you did, and you've got to pay that price. You've got some penance to, give up there. And if you're not doing that, well, no. Where's the sort of justice for, the innocence you just decided to rob or destroy, or, basically set them down a very dark path of, you know, God knows what? And that's their thing.
Right. I mean, that's why Jesus told the town whore. I mean, that's what she basically was. I mean, you know, after the crowd left.
Yeah. Let's just say she was a very friendly lady who had lots of friends. They had pillow fights. Yeah.
They had pillow fights. Yes. Beautiful. Yes. Beautiful. I love that.
Yes.
I love that. Very, very clean. Very clean. Yeah. You know, that's why Jesus said, you know, to the lady after the pillow fight, yeah, you know, basically he gave her a freedom, but he told her not to take advantage of that. Like, you are free to go, but don't take advantage of this freedom. You have a responsibility. And that's what people in the church, the leaders of the church, even those who go to church, you don't necessarily need to be a leader. You have a responsibility. Yeah, you have free will, but that doesn't give you the excuse, reason, to do whatever you want whenever you do that. No, that's not what... That's not our job.
Yeah, but I would say it feels like over the last like this century, a lot of people have kind of tried to dissolve themselves of responsibility on many a great level. And it's just okay, take some responsibility. You know what I mean? Take that responsibility of the time you may have screwed up, you may have fucked up, you may have been that person which was not the most positive, but no, it's nah.
Right. And it's okay. I mean, David screwed up. I mean, think about David. I mean, yeah, he was the Goliath, and yeah, he was this great man who, conquered lands. But I mean, David loved women, okay? And he murdered for a woman. Now that's serious. All right, that's serious. I don't know how clean this podcast is, but that must have been a really good looking woman
Well,
to
like,
murder
hey,
for.
look, put it this way, like this, as I say, this is a free form like podcast. If you want to curse, you curse away.
Okay. So I can say the pussy must have been real good to
It's
kill
like
over.
you can't say that. It's like, I see what type of Christian you are. There you go. It's like, praise Jesus. Let's just say David most certainly discovered the promised land and he was happy. It's like, there you go. All I've got to say. Yes, a smile came on his face.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the kill for that, yeah, that had to be real good.
And like this is the thing, it's the fruit, like it's not like the human race has kind of learned from like the lessons which are provided by like the Bible with regards to young David, well, old David, dog David, like wretched David. Mistakes are keep on being repeated, and like the whole thing is, I'm not gonna say take responsibility for every damn last thing. Oh, I stepped on a bug. I should take responsibility for that bug's life. No, but there are certain things in life you've got to like go, look, like, okay, things are not going my way. I need to like make a difference and need a change. Yes, it's your life. It is a precious gift, which you are like, depending where you are in the world, you do have a certain degree or and level of freedom, which is quite envious if you look at some other parts of the world, and not to abuse that freedom to like, oh yes, I'll do this, that, the other, but know that that freedom, that responsibility is a gift,
Yes.
and appreciate that gift, you know?
Yes. Oh, yes, most definitely. And as America, America has been very spoiled from the very beginning. I mean, the moment they stepped on this soil, to have Native Americans who weren't Christians be more Christian-like than the Europeans as far as helping them to survive in a whole new world. I mean, America has been very spoiled, very spoiled.
Like I would say with regards to America and like where it sort of stands, everything like this, I would say there are some aspects of America which I would say yes, America is spoiled, but it comes from the sort of position where, okay, if you went back before the Second World War, like before the First World War, this country, England, Britain, was like number one and everything like this. Because, yeah, obtained a certain position in the world, and then a lot of that's come easy. The people who had to sort of like, yeah, dig deep and like fight, claw, and like, you know what I mean, push themselves, those people are long gone. And like I would imagine if there was people from 50 years ago, like 100 years ago, would look at America and be like, on one hand, I think they'll look at America with like shock and awe, and the other hand, I think they might look at America with like utter disgust. And like, yeah, I just look, it's just one of those things. I'm not like, and when I say this, I look at America, I know it's got its troubles. I look at America, I know it's got its divisions. And with the way America is trying to talk about certain things in that, like in society, like there is sort of sometimes there is no sort of common ground where you can sort of meet in the middle, have these discussions, and basically become better from the discussions. Because discussions, I've said this a number of times, it's where good ideas and bad ideas come together. And like basically, the bad ideas wither away and die, and the good ideas become something more, become something greater. But America's not doing that. And I would say a lot of places in the world are not doing that. It's not just America, you know?
Yeah, you are right about that. You're very right about that. It's like we're losing our skill of dialogue. Mm. We created bubbles that we feel are safe and righteous, but it's at a cost. It's becoming at a cost.
Mm. Like, this is the thing, like, you yourself, like, living, breathing, and look, pushing yourself, like, putting yourself out there with your podcast, talking to different people and everything like this, like, you have most probably a very unique perspective of what you sort of see going on. Like, if there was a fix out there, what would you say that fix would be?
That's a very good question. I'm still trying to figure that out myself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really good question. It's people just have to let go. There's so much anger. There's a lot of hurt. Some people feel like some sides feel as if a way of lifestyle is being lost. So they feel like the whole world is crashing down. Mm. There's groups that feel like they're not heard enough. They're not appreciated enough. And what that fix would be is a really simple question, but we just make it so complicated. I mean, I did an interview that hasn't aired yet, in which a lady was like, I don't want to be tolerated. I want to be, you know, celebrated, you know, in those aspects. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's a great quote. I think that's a great way to look at things. You know, that a person on the other side feels that probably the way too. They don't want to be tolerated. They want to be celebrated. You know, they want to be appreciated. Mm. But that's what everybody wants in the end. But we too have to learn how to appreciate the other side.
Yeah. And like, this is the thing. I think with regards to, like, anyone goes, yeah, I want to be celebrated. Like, my response would be, but what have you done to be celebrated? It's like, look, it's one of those things. Everyone wants to be celebrated. But look, if you haven't sort of like gone out there and done something celebratory worthy, that's not a word, but like something what can be celebrated, you're coming from, like, doesn't matter who it is, that's just coming from a place of just your individual privilege, you know?
Well said. Well said. Yeah. That's a deep one.
Yeah.
It's very good. It's very good. Because when you think about it, you know, even in scripture, Jesus wasn't, I mean, the only time he was celebrated was when he, you know, coming down the donkey and, you know, people like, woo, woo, woo. But even he knew what was ahead of him, you know. But even he didn't really lime in the limelight of, quote unquote, being celebrated, because he knew what his responsibilities were. That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. Do you think it's like, today it is just how our society formed with this me culture? Because that's another thing too I learned, you know, how not scripture, but just literature, period. You know, literature, how it evolved over the years. It was more like you, we, and then here now we have a lot of me and I, you know, how do I become better, or how do I make more money, or how do I mean, even people's social media posts, like, you know, I clap this into another car, you know, I'm trying to envision their wealth to come to them.
You know what? Yeah, just clapping. We have things over here called pantomimes, right? They come up around about Christmas time, and like it'll be about Cinderella and like basically Peter Pan. Okay, now with Peter Pan, like the little like Tinkerbell. Okay, yeah, when she's when she's about to die, like all the kids have to clap their hands to make her come back to life. It's like, yeah, clap your hands, kids. Yeah, that's the only time you see clapping perform a miracle in a pantomime. Like, look, clapping to make money happen, just clapping to wish something into existence without doing the work, forget it. It's like, you know what I mean? No. But to answer your question, there is, like, I would say regards to society, like, let's go with Western society. Like, there has been a me identity, I, like, the individual, definitely over, I would say, for the last 10, maybe 15 years, you could say most really it's come into much more of a forefront with social media, because if you do social media and you, like, get yourself out there right, you can have access to certain things in life, which basically, yeah, you can make a lot of money, you can get a lot of prestige, people just give you stuff. And it's like, yeah, you don't really see a lot of team activity when it comes down to people. It's like solo, or they will come together to help sort of boost each other up, and then it goes back to solo. But you don't really sort of like go, right, this is us as a community. This is us as a team. We are going to strive to push these things forward. And I know there will be people that go, yeah, but what about this and what about that? Yeah, it's small, but the vast majority is it's I, or I am like solo. I've like, this is what I've observed. I could be totally wrong about this, but yeah, it's what I've observed.
Yeah, no, that's a very good observation. Yeah, that's a very good observation. And maybe that could be a solution too, like how to work, you know, a team. I mean, remember, I don't know if you heard, you know, I remember a long time ago, be like, there's no I in team. Uh-huh. And then it slowly become, but there's a me.
But like, there's like the retort to that is there's no I in T, but there is you in see you next Tuesday. I'll just leave you to your imagination. It's like, yeah, that is like, yeah, that is the one. Just like,
Nice. Yeah. I never heard of that one.
Well, yes. Like, trust me, I won't lie, but I have used it on a couple of occasions. Yes, one on my poor friend Dan Freire, like we're playing table football, like there was four of us, and you like said, yeah, there's no I. I was like, yeah, like. As soon as he said it, I was like, yeah, burst out. Like, I was like, like, I'm like laughing for about 5 minutes, and I pointed at it. I said it, and it was like, yeah, I think he may have spat in my drink after that. I'm not too sure. I'm so silly. You're so
silly. Oh, my cheeks hurt. I'm just being honest, my cheeks hurt.
Oh, well, there you go. I didn't give a guarantee that your cheeks wouldn't hurt at the end of this like podcast. But yeah, going into it, you know me. So I have to ask, look. So what are some of like the things you're hoping to achieve with this podcast?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, for me, it's interesting because for me personally, it is my walk with God, you know, how to get closer to the Lord, to learn about him more. And to take people along on the journey, and to show, I love listening to other people's stories. I love talking to people. So, this is a way to hopefully, you know, bring some stories out too, along the way, you know, teach some people a few things along the way, learn a few things, you know, along myself, you know, just go together on a journey, you know, with a group of imaginary people, people that I don't even see. well,
you say they're imaginary, but like, yeah, if you're in the top 20, top 10 of like, yeah, like religious podcasts, that means you've got a number of people actually like,
yeah, just a few, you know, go on a journey with and, you know, learn a few things with, because, you know, I mean, the lore, the Bible, scripture, I mean, it's all really, you know, great content, you know, to bring that. I mean, the Bible is a book that has survived for centuries. So it has communicated and resonated with the population, you know, so why not learn how to go deeper, learn, you know, what things mean, and learn what scripture means to, you know, you and I, because it's funny, because, you know, sometimes there was one particular scripture that I felt, you know, talked about confidence, you know, and another person, they interpreted it in a completely different way. And I never would have thought about that if we didn't have a conversation. Never would have thought about that. So I just think it's beautiful to be able to have an open dialogue, just have an open dialogue with scripture, you know, with a group of people. Because that's what one of the things that's missing, you know. I know with the Catholic Church is very one direction, you know, Baptists in America, it was kind of more of a personal relationship, but at the end of the day, you know, we've kind of gotten a little lazy, you know, with scripture, with Bible, you know, someone tells me something and I'll be like, okay, and then go on my way and be like, this is what it means, you know, without questioning it.
I think people, like, you know, like, this is one of those things which is a more of an American thing than, like, I would say more of a British thing, but doing the whole book reports, like, people, like, going, like, when people cheat over doing their book reports and just get stuff with the cliff notes, and that's like, yeah, I think there's a lot of people which are sort of cliff noting like a lot of things in life, be that scripture, being their own sort of personal beliefs, or, like, you know what I mean, where they want to go in life. But, like, you can, yeah, you get the gist, but, like, the whole thing is through actually studying the book, going through it all, you're experiencing the journey, and the cliff notes, it's sort of like you're sort of falling asleep, getting to a destination, falling asleep and getting to a destination again, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, I remember cliff notes. Are cliff notes still, like, relevant today? Well, like did you guys have the big, you know, the little skinny yellow and black book, or
no? Like, you see, it's different. Like, yeah, you'd have to do, like, you had book reports. Like, you didn't have like, yeah, okay, let me just go through the cliff notes and go, yep, there you go, thank you very much. Look. Yeah,
I remember Cliff Notes back in college. Yeah, those were popular books. Those little skinny, because in America they're like yellow and black.
Okay,
and it was just like a, you know, shortened version of like Shakespeare or whatever it was.
These are key points. Just like fill in the gaps between that key point and this key point, and you'll get.
Yeah. I did cliff notes. I'll be like, and you know what? Shakespeare is a real prime example. Shakespeare was dark too.
Oh, absolutely.
Shakespeare was dark and dirty.
Oh, well, hey, all I've got to simply say is Othello and the Scottish play. I will not say it. The Scottish play begins with M. And if you say it, it's meant to be unlucky. But yeah, do you know what the Scottish play is?
No, I don't think so. I think I should know. I feel like I should know.
I'm going to just say the first bit, Mac, and then you can deal with the rest.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But I'm good. Search up Scottish play and it'll come up. Yeah. But yeah. Henry V, was it? Yeah. With, like, my kingdom for a horse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Desperate times. Yeah. England, like England was going cheap at that point in time. You're the king now. And yeah, by all means, if you get stabbed in the next few minutes, I'll be back for it.
Dark times, dark times.
Yeah. I have to ask now, like, you're strong with your faith, like passion, belief. Like, was it always that way, or did you have to like discover it again?
Yeah, it was not always that way. I don't even know if it's still now. I mean, I say that because, you know, as I go on this journey through life, you know, trials and tribulations, you know, things will come forth, you know, that God wants me to learn, whatever. But no, it wasn't. I mean, I was, you know, I was a typical, I had that American mindset, you know, be like, oh, I'm going to go to college and get married and have children and leave the, you know, sweet suburban life. And, you know,
you have had a child. Well, from what you've just said, you have had a child. Like, are you happily married now, right now?
No, God had to take things away.
Okay. Woo. Moving on. Exit. Okay. I said too much, people. I said too much. He's like, yeah, I keep him around in the garden. Have some time. It's like, you push me too far.
No, I'm not happily married. Like God had to like take some things away. You know, he does that quite often, even in scripture. Like, he's like, you living a comfortable life? Not today. But I had to be guided, you know, like the burning bush. I had to be guided to where God needed me to be. Like, I wasn't. I mean, even today, I mean, yeah, I'm a Christian, but you know, I was telling someone the other day, like, not the other day, today, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Like, today was a conversation, about marriage. And I was like, yeah, I was like, I'm too selfish.
I know what I like. And this is what I like. I was like, okay. Any chance of moving on that? No.
Right.
I'm like, no. I just like, no. It's like, can I just give a little inch? No. Kid comes along. No, forget it, man. Tried.
like I'm too selfish. I'm too controlling, you know. And that's okay. You know, I'm not this meek, perfect person, you know, who's living a perfect life. Like that's just not going to happen. And I'm okay with that. And, you know, the conversations that I have with God, you know, are very, selfish, like, you know, I mean, just the other day, like when I talk to God, you know, as far as like he needs a pep talk, God doesn't need a pep talk, but I'd be like, okay, God, come on, Jesus, we can do this. You know, when I'm trying to accomplish something, Jesus doesn't need a pep talk.
I can just see you like, okay, God, okay, Jesus, like Moses, Peter, like Peter, James, John, come on in. Everyone, put your hands in. Okay, team Holy Spirit on three. 1, 2, 3, T Holy Spirit. Okay. Come on.
I'm going to take that. I'm so going to take that and use that next time. I never thought about that. T Holy Spirit. I like that. I like that.
Team Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. Praise his name.
Like, my faith is not perfect. And you know, I acknowledge that. And I'm very open about that. Mm. I mean, even in scripture, I mean, when you use Moses as an example, that's a prime example of, you know, faith not being strong. I mean, Jesus freed a group of people They saw people die. They saw insects. They saw skins, rashes that they never seen before. Yeah. You know, they seen the sea parted. They seen a whole army be just decimated, you know, with a body of ocean. And Moses takes more than expected, you know, more than what a human would expect for a man to be on a mountain with God. Like, yep. You're like, this is taking too long. Like, someone's been on a mountain with God before. And they, with Aaron's sidekick, they'd be like, we need to build an idol, you know, because this idol, you know, helped us out of Egypt. So yep. Let's take up all of our valuable gold and build a beautiful cow statue. Like, just like that, you know, just like that. Their faith is just like flipped a script. And so with, which I find is fascinating. Like when I read, I was like, oh my God, how could they do that? Oh, But my faith is just as weak as theirs. Like, you know, sometimes I'm scared about things, anxious about things. And it's like, actually.
Let's just, okay, you say that, right? Okay, now let's just say, okay, you're a lady sitting here with a podcast over in the United States of America. Like, yeah, doing all the things you do, maybe not the most, how can I say, give and take lady when it comes to certain things. But that's another story. We won't go there right now because, hey, that's a different thing. But if you've seen from your own, like, senses, your eyes, your ears and everything like this, but you've seen, like, plagues come down on the land and then, like, yeah, you've seen, like, yeah, the hand of God go through a whole city, like massacring the firstborn of every, like, yeah. Then you've seen the sea parted, and then you've gone through, and then you've seen an army decimated, which was after you. The people of Israel, what were following Moses at that present time, they are some dumb people. That's all I've got to simply say. You see all that go down, and then you like, you know what? They were magic tricks. I don't believe in God. No, they are some stupid people. I'm going to say that again. And look, if anyone goes, yeah, I'm going to cancel you. No, but like, I'll go, yeah, again, if you were there, you saw all of this happen, go down. Would you be like going, okay, let me build a, like, this false idol and that, go with that? Or would you like, yeah, I've seen everything I've seen. And it wasn't like it happened years ago, it was like, yeah, just last week, that's what I saw, and this is all what went down. I'm free right now from the tyranny of Egypt. Yeah, you keep your calf. I'll be like waiting for Moses to come down from that mountain. Yeah, I think when evidence, sometimes when it comes out clearly, and I'm like, it doesn't have to be religion or anything like this, like, you know what I mean, just like, if you live a disciplined life with certain things, it will make your life better. I'm not going to say it's going to make your life, oh yes, perfect, but it will make your life better. You see, the evidence is clear, and yet people don't do it. And look, I hold my hand up and go, yeah, I've been one of those people, like, which is like, yeah, apply this, do this, like yeah, things will happen.
Yeah. I mean, like to say that hopefully makes it more easier to, you know, acknowledging where I fall will hopefully make it my relationship with God easier. I mean, we're going through it right now. I mean, I'm sure you've seen January 6th on the news with the Capitol, and people are just having all types of stories like, oh no, it wasn't Trump supporters that walked up the stairs into that. It was Antifa. It was Black Lives Matter. Like we all witnessed the same thing. And we're going through the exact same thing that the Israelites and Moses did when he brought those people out of Egypt. So for me to acknowledge where I fall, because, you know, I'm it's happened to me before. I believed in certain things. I allowed myself to be duped in certain things, but to acknowledge my weakness and to acknowledge God's strength in order to pull me out, because, you know, God has had his moments with me, like, Ashley, we need to get this straight.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You thought you're going to be doing stuff today. No, you're going to be sitting down in that chair. We are going to have a conversation. It's like, what? I was going to go shopping. No, you're going to sit right down. We're having a conversation.
Right. It's like, right. It has happened before. Because I'll be like, God, can I buy this? And I'll be like, I'll be like, God, I don't know what you're talking about. I need this. Yeah, I'll be having those conversations too. But to acknowledge where I fall, hopefully God will be like, yeah, you're doing okay. You're doing okay. And that's what I want in the end, for him to be like, I'm doing okay. You know, there's people who have stronger faiths than me, who are stronger warriors than me, but you know, they too have walked on this earth just a little bit longer than me.
They may have walked on this earth a little bit longer than you, but like, this is the whole thing. Like, you can have people which have been around forever in one day, and like, yeah, they haven't asked the questions which would make them better, stronger. True. Right. True. So it comes down to this, like, wisdom is not just down to a length of time. It's about the observations you make, and it's about the questions you ask, and if you're willing to pick up those lessons. Because look,
true.
Here's the thing, like, I've seen so many people, and I've been one of those people where, okay, discomfort, nah, I don't want any of it. That's like, no, I am quite happy with my comfy shoes and my comfortable life and everything like this. But when you are sitting in the realm of comfort, everything like this, when there's no challenges going around, you don't grow as a person. You start to basically regress as a person. You're like, all of a sudden, like, yeah, things which would be, you, which will come to you quickly, the quick snappy reactions get a little bit duller. And like, basically, when you feel like, yeah, you would be physically or mentally stronger, you're not as strong, and bit by bit. But when you go, like, when you go into that realm of discomfort, when you sort of like push past the many sort of forms of fear, like most fears where we live in this day and age, especially in the Western world. The reason why I preface that is, look, I live in the UK. There is no cougars, there's no bears, there is no nothing like that. You live in the United States. Depending where you are in the United States, you might meet a bear or a cougar or anything like that. And that fear is quite real. If like a bear comes up to you and goes, hey, I'm a bear, you're a human, you know what, I've got a nickname for you. And you're like, what's the nickname? Light snack, come here. And it's like, you've got something to really be fearful in that scenario. But you live in the States, like, for the most part, you don't have a lot of things to fear when you like, all right, like, you live in a society where you can hunt for fun. That's what I'm saying. It's like, look, it's not like you need it to like sustain yourself. You can hunt for fun. So many a person don't seek out that discomfort. I'm not sort of like, yeah, put yourself through the greatest pain. No. Discomfort, not some sadomasochist like torture scheme down to it. But not a lot of people do that. And like, when they are living in that place of comfort, they get weaker, they become less. But when you put yourself in that place of discomfort, you become more. Look, think about this way, right? Okay. When you first started your podcast, the first podcast, I don't know who you were doing it with, but like your first podcast, you most probably were a considerably different person by the end of the first wave of that podcast. And you that went, okay, ended it. And you went, okay, let me go out there and do it again. And like, when you started again, you are most probably a considerably different person now. I don't know what type of person you're going to be in a year's time from now. but you keep on pushing those boundaries for yourself to learn and grow. Like, it's a case of, like, I don't know. If you could have some type of understanding where that direction might take you, what, like, would you run to it, like, boldly, or would you sort of like, oh, hey, let's see where that journey takes me?
First of all, I would be scared. Mm. Knowing me, I'll be like, and then I'll take that journey. God, like I'm not gonna be like, yeah, I'm gonna take it boldly, go. No, that's not me. I'm a cautious person, but I'll take like little baby steps, and then I'll be like, okay, the soil feels just fine. and then I start moving a little bit faster. Mm. that's just me. So yeah, I got to put my toe in the pool, you know, before I'll be like, oh, okay, this water feels fine, before I take a dip.
It's like, oh, that feels nice. That feels nice. It's like, oh, no, it's too cold. No, go on. Oh, no. Edge back forward.
Right. And it'll probably be too cold. And then I would need somebody to push me in, which God has done quite a bit. I'd be like, no, God, that's too cold. And be like, too bad.
Deal with it. You have no choice. You might as well suck it up. Oh, yes. Deal with it. You have no choice. You might as well suck it up. Yes. The amount of times I sang that to a camper, like, I worked over in the States as a camp counselor in Virginia and upstate New York. And like, yeah. Oh, nice. So when I was in Virginia, it was with a Christian camp. And so I was like, yeah, lots of middle-class kids. Like, hey, I'm like, ha-ha. They're going, oh, you talk funny. I went, yeah, look who's talking. It's like, going, yeah. It's like, oh. It's like,
that's funny. I used to be around in the Virginia area when I was younger, so you know, I understand when you said that. Like, I could have been one of those camp kids, be like, oh, you're so funny.
Yeah, well, hey, this is the thing, might as well throw it out there. If you were in Camp High Road in like sort of early 90s, and that would have been me. That's like, yeah, that's like,
no, I wasn't there, but I was a kid in the 90s, though.
Yeah, just see, that's it. There's like, just like, yeah, it's like, yeah, but the rest of the time I was upstate New York for a summer camp for inner city kids. There's an organization called the Fresh Air Fund. So they take kids from the inner city and they basically send them away to farms and like, yeah, summer camps. And yes, there's a big like area where they were. I was a camp counselor there. Yes,
it was nice. So you've been around
East Coast, yeah, up and down, like as far south as Virginia, and yeah, okay, as far north as Boston. But yeah,
wow, that's cool. Mm. That's cool.
Yes. Kept me out of trouble for a little bit. love it. Now, if you had a list of people you could talk to through time and space, which three people would you talk to and why?
Ooh, that's from three people, you said?
Three people.
That's a very good question. For one, I would say my grandmother on my mother's side. Oh. I haven't had the chance to meet her, but I feel like we were like the same in some aspects.
Okay.
And so she would be one of them, just to really know just who she was as a person. She had, I think, like some really interesting obstacles that I would want to know about, especially for her time. My mom believed that she couldn't read or write. And so to be a mother in America, you know, a Black woman in America, not able to read and write, is really fascinating to me because by, my mom was born in the 60s. So, this isn't like she left, left out of slavery and, got a job and, trying to make it. This is someone who was well established, I don't even know if that's even the correct thing to say, but just to know what a Black woman who wasn't able to read and write, I think that'll be fascinating for me to learn and to know. Another person would be a coworker who recently left. I still have a full-time job, so until this podcast pays, but but
I'm waiting for that
there.
check as well. It's gonna be a long wait. Just a dollar. Come on now. Just a dollar.
So, it'll be a former coworker. His name is Brian. I won't reveal his last name, but he was just an average person. But being at work, you can't really have deep conversations because you're at work. But I found there'll be like n little nuggets he would just say, and I'll be like, "That's fascinating," but I could never go deep. I could never go deep. So he's a person. And then a third person. And then my third person would probably be, who would my third person be? I'm kind of going between two people. I'm going between two people, either like my brother or my dad. I mean, these are all close people, either my brother or my dad. I was not a good sister. Like, I'm older than my brother. So, like, he was like pesky and annoying and,
What did you? No. What did you do to that poor lad? What did you give? Yeah, look, you see, that's not laughter. That's a cackle right there. Look. Yeah.
Like, I mean, he wanted to hang around and I didn't. I wanted my own space, I was just a mean sister. I'm being open and honest.
Cackle again. That's a Yeah, you
Oh,
see.
yeah. But as I gotten older, our relationship is better.
Poor son of a bitch.
I appreciated him more. I appreciate, which is what my mom always wanted. And it was so funny because she's like, "You're gonna appreciate your brother." I'm like, "No, I'm not." I was like, "He's annoying." And yeah, no, I appreciate him more. My mom's like, "Oh, you guys are getting along now that we're adults, because we laugh and we chat, I ask about how he's doing, you know what loving people should do." And my mom be like, "Oh, you guys love each other." So it would probably be my brother and my dad. With my dad, it's more of a me and my dad like same but different, we're the same but different. But to be on a deeper level with my father, because I'm like at an age where I am leaning into my parents more than as I did as a younger. But that's life. You think you can do things on your own, and God be like,
Yeah, that's what got. Teamwork makes the dream work. That's what he says. Yeah, it's like, yes. Now, it is interesting that you pick people which you could actually have a proper conversation with.
Yes. I did. The majority of them, yeah, I did. And that means that I can have that today. But part of me is still growing. Like, for example, with my father, part of me is still growing. Like what I said, I'm selfish. So part of not being selfish is humbling yourself. I need to learn how to humble myself. And I don't think I've humbled myself great enough to be able to have that conversation, you know, that deep conversation with my father. You know, I can have it with my brother, but not enough to have it with my father yet. You know, maybe 5-10 years will be completely different story. And I know it will. I know it will. With my coworker, it'll just be a matter of tracking him down and convincing him, because he's a private person. He's a very private person, and tracking him down and be able, you know, to reconnect with him again.
Yeah.
But hopefully time will allow me to have that.
Yeah. Just like, I'm going to track him down.
Brian, I'm coming after you.
When I do find you, sit down, have a good conversation. Yeah. It's like, yeah, Brian, I said, still waters run deep with you, my friend. Okay. How, like, hey, how did you get in? Ashley, how did you get into my house? Don't worry about it. Turn off the light and sit down. Click, click. I turned the light back on and she was gone. I don't like it. brilliant. Seeing as we're coming near to that time where we have to end this conversation, as good as it's been, and like, yes, as much as much laughter has been had, like, one of us, our cheeks hurt so badly they couldn't do anything.
Yeah. I've been smiling the entire time. Like, it's exercise. Like, it's, my cheeks have not had the exercise.
I'm just gonna let that sit for a moment. Let it out.
That sounds weird, I know, but it's like sometimes you'd be like, haha, that's funny, and then your cheeks just go back down, you know.
You're a funny person. It's like going, wow. It's like going, oh.
You'd be like, ha ha ha. And then your cheeks go down and you move on about your life. But my cheeks haven't gone back down.
I say nothing, people. I say nothing. I leave it like that. It's like, yes. It's like, yeah,
people, I'm going to listen back to this. I'll be like, Ashley, what? Why did you say that?
What type of podcast is this? What are you guys doing? It's like, what are you trying to run here? It's like, yes. Yeah, she's still gone. I can tell. Yeah. Okay. You know what? I have to ask. Now, I would either give you a wish or, like, it's a movie thing. You know what? I'm going to go with the movie thing. Now, you may have heard me ask this question of someone before on my podcast, depending on when you may have listened to it. But I am always intrigued. Now, pick a film, any film you might have watched, maybe your favorite film, maybe a film you've, like, just enjoyed. Have you got it?
Have I got it?
Yeah, a film in your mind.
A film in my mind, have I got it?
Oh, like a film, like what's your favorite film, for example?
It sounds so cheesy. It's The Wiz.
The Wiz.
With Michael Jackson.
Okay. The Wiz with Michael Jackson. Now. Okay.
Diana Ross.
Okay. Now, let's take The Wiz, for example. Okay. You've got the whole cast of The Wiz in your mind, everything like that. Michael Jackson, everyone like that. Now, you know the Muppets, Sesame Street and all of that. Now, replace the whole of that cast of The Wiz with the Muppets, and out of the cast of The Wiz, you can only have one of the original actors in it. Which is the original actor?
Michael.
Michael. So, okay. So, with that, in The Wiz, who would be the rest of the cast then? I have to ask.
The rest of the cast of The Wiz?
Yeah. Yes. Which, like, Muppets would make up from that cast?
Oh my God. The Muppets with The Wiz. Wow. That's a deep question.
Yeah.
The Muppets with the Wiz. Diana Ross, who would she be? I mean, there's not too many women with the Muppets. I mean, it's just Piggy. And like Diana Ross isn't Piggy.
Well, like, hey, there's that lady in the band with the, like, yeah, it's
Oh,
her.
yeah. That's right. I forgot about her. But she'll probably be more like in the like dancing group when they get to Emerald City. When Quincy Jones is like, was it Quincy Jones was playing on the piano when they get to Emerald City? Yeah, it's been a minute since I watched it.
You know what?
It's been a long minute since I watched it to the point where it's like a DVD.
Right. I say, you know, like
Yeah,
when you just did that,
but
I was transcended. I was there. I could actually feel myself just like, oh God damn, it's the Wiz. It's the Wiz.
oh my gosh. Yeah, because the Wiz was awesome. Like the Wiz was like put together probably before I was born. But it was just so awesome because it was like a musical with mostly African Americans. That's what was so cool about it. And like musicals have always been primarily white Americans. So to be able to like watch, black actors and actresses and singers in a black setting with, black, it was big for me. I mean, what people, I mean, it'll, well, what the Wiz was to me was what Black Panther is to, cultural wise to a lot of people today. Like that's what it was, the Wiz was to me. So, I mean, it's really hard, like to put like Michael Jackson. I mean, what would he be? I mean, I guess he would be Kermit the Frog because green. It's hard to be green. The lion. I can't remember his name, but he was a very big Broadway actor. I can't remember his name. I mean, what would he be? Like Fozzie? Dorothy, I guess Piggy, because I don't have too many women.
Could be
And then, huh?
Ralph the dog, piano playing dog.
Yeah,
Yeah.
might as well, might as well. But Diana Ross was very angelic,
I look, you can pick from all of it, but yeah, I hear you. But like, this is the thing to like with regards to today with musicals. Now, look. Yeah, like I think there's this really small musical which sort of broke out about 4 or 5 years ago. I'm not too sure. Like, what does it start with? What does it start with? H.
What, Hamilton?
Yes,
Oh,
Hamilton.
okay.
Now, yeah, that's you know what I mean. It's made quite a considerable bit of progress. And before that, it was the Heights. I haven't like,
Yes.
yeah. And like this is the thing, I've got it in my sort of things to watch the Heights, but Hamilton. Now I can't remember how many Tonys it's won or anything like that, but you know what I mean? That is a significant movement in the right direction. So you know, and I think there will be more to come as it goes by. Oh.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I completely agree. I know in the United States, Disney has a new movie coming out with an Asian superhero. Like
Yeah, Shang-Chi.
I think that's I think that's like awesome. I think that's amazing. And it at the end of the day, it's not about excluding people, but it's about including other stories. There's more than one story.
No, like the whole thing is the development of like giving people their voices to like tell their stories. And look, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying give everyone their story because like there are some stories out there which you're like, oh, only if it was as good as it could be. No. Look, the whole thing is like, okay, I remember I went to this charity gala thing for Macmillan. It's a cancer charity here in the UK. 100 year, it was their centenary, 100 years of Macmillan charity. And like it had six members of the Lion King stage performing.
Oh, wow.
I don't know where, like, they didn't have mics on or whatnot, but like these six people, it was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God. Six members of that cast just like literally just tore the roof down. Like people, like at the end of it, I was like, oh my God. I got to my feet and I clapped. I was like, that's how impressive it was. And that was just six people. God knows what the whole cast is like. I don't think it, I think it'll just blow my little mind. But that's another story. Yes. But yeah, yes. I'm gonna have to leave it at that note because, like, yeah, if I you take me down this path, we'll be talking all night. It's like it's like, yeah.
Yeah, The Lion King. Yeah, that's a good one too. It's very colorful, very, I mean, yeah, it's very colorful. Just colors just moving and people just, yeah, it's very beautiful.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. Now, Ashley, now you're gonna have to tell the lovely people out there how they can find you on the interwebs.
Yeah, so I'm on theblacksheepchristian.org, and that's how you can find me. You can also find me on Instagram, with BKSHEP Christian. I'm posting my episodes now on YouTube, so yeah, so you can listen, but there's no video, not just yet, maybe down the road.
You can put video up on there. Put video up on there. Look, you've got no choice in the matter because this will be going up on YouTube on video as well. So, like, yeah, get used to people seeing your face out there.
I know. I know. I know. I gotta get used to
It's too late. It's like that.
It's so funny because when I was a kid, I was like, I'm gonna be in Hollywood. I'm gonna be in movies. Like I had a plan. I had a plan and I was working towards that plan. So I just find it interesting now. I'm kind of like I'm so shy about showing my face. How things change.
Well, I done warned you in the email that yes, it will be going out on the YouTubes as well. So you've got no choice.
With yeah. Well, this is one of those things, like I put my I dip my toe in the pool, sometimes God's got to push me in. And it's not bad. It's not bad. It's just like the initial fear. And then when you're done, you're like, what was I scared about? What the hell was that?
Bears are a lot smaller than they actually make themselves out to be, as they say. Okay, I'm gonna say this now, Ashley. You have been a delight, a pleasure, a joy to have on the podcast today. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed this conversation. This was fun.
Oh, you see, this is the first of many conversations. You will be back. You have no choice.
Nice.
It's like, yeah.
Yes.
She's like, yes. America. Yeah. Like, come on.
That was very American, wasn't it? That was very American.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
We should have a conversation about like what do you guys think of like how we act and be like sometimes it'd be like how do people across the pond think of how we are, like are we like this loud group of people, like do you admire us being loud, or are we supposed to be more quieter, like how are we supposed to be acting?
I'll answer that question next time you're on. I'm like, yeah. See, I'm not gonna tell you anything like that right now. No. What does this lady think I am? No. It's like, hey, yes. On that happy note, I say goodbye to Ashley. Okay,
Yeah.
okay. trying to figure out what British people think of the Americans. No, not today, young lady, not today.
I'm just a curious mind. I'm just a curious mind. I just have a curious mind.
Yeah, you know what happened to the curious cat?
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah. They do. They
click. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. On that happy note, my friends, my life warriors, please, I would like to say thank you for being with us up until this point. You have been amazing. You have been awesome. Please subscribe to the podcast. Stick with it. More to come. Yes, you will see Ashley again in the future, no doubt. I will get her back on. No, it's going to happen. But let me just say, yes, thank you. Please stay safe, stay well, be awesome, be excellent, be fantastic. Be all the positive bees you can be in this world and then some. And remember, Team Holy Spirit. Boom.
Woo!
Faith. And we are